From Relay, this is Downstream, a podcast about the present and future of television. This is episode number 113, recorded February the 18th, 2026. I am your master of ceremonies, Jason Snell, and I am joined by Joe Adalian, West Coast editor at Vulture. Joe, welcome back to Downstream.
Jason, good to be here as always, sir.
Yeah, it's good to have you. Happy New Year. Although I think there was Pac-Man in 2026.
Well,
I don't remember.
Happy Lunar New Year's this week.
Exactly.
So,
and lots of stuff. And Ramadan and we had Fat Tuesday and Mardi Gras and things like that are happening. So I have some sports follow-up corner. So this is sports corner follow-up.
I can check some emails.
I mean,
you could pass
out for a little while if you wanted to. Although you might have things to say. It's the business of sports anyway.
Yes.
In the last episode, Will and I talked about Main Street Sports, which is the wonderful venture where Disney had to turn around and sell Fox Sports Net after it bought Fox, and it got bought by Sinclair, an interesting chain of TV stations that decided to buy this thing.
Well, yeah, Sinclair, interesting is one way to describe
Sinclair. Yeah, they're a piece of work. Anyway, they called it Diamond Sports, then they called it Main Street Sports, just trying to like run away from the fact that they kept declaring bankruptcy. Well, they are going to shut down. They are bankrupt and they're going to shut down. That is the outcome of that whole conversation. Major League Baseball is taking over, I think, all but one of the teams that were still on Main Street and will be doing the same thing that they had done with a bunch of teams that had been left by the side of the road by Main Street and Diamond in the past. This is all in advance of Major League Baseball putting out these rights in a national package is what Rob Manfred, the commissioner, wants to do in a few years. So you might end up just having Amazon or whoever have all the baseball games on it, and you would just subscribe that way. Regardless, no blackouts, just everybody would get it. So we'll see what happens there. I think an interesting couple of quirks here. The Braves are going to make their own way. I think not surprisingly, given that they're owned by Liberty Media, that they might want to just kind of create their own channel. So they're going to do that. And the Detroit Tigers have joined with their hockey counterparts, the Detroit Red Wings, and they're going to both go in together with Major League Baseball. So this is an interesting example of Major League Baseball saying, you know, we could pick up a hockey team too, and that there might be some economies of scale since they have to negotiate with the cable company to get that channel with those games on their local cable systems and things like that. And I wonder, other NBA and NHL teams will have till the end of the season before Main Street shuts down. They're all going to have to figure out what's next. But I do wonder if we're going to see a bunch of local teams do what they did in Detroit and kind of like figure out if they've got a regional sports strategy that's not an RSN, but it's an RSS. It's a regional sports strategy to figure out where to put their games. Because as we know, local sports do really well in the ratings in those local regions. They are very successful there. So, everybody's going to have to figure all this stuff out. But the answer to the cliffhanger we left you with last time is that, yeah, they went bankrupt. They're gone. And baseball is going to take over most of those teams. So that's my follow-up there.
I will say one thing, which is, you know, I do think one of the biggest problems here is as sports moves to streaming is just the fact that it's on so many different services and so difficult for fans to keep up. And I feel like there needs to be something where, I don't know, like it sort of require federal legislation or something, but I understand the sports leagues, obviously they're all these teams are incentivized to make the most amount of money they can, whatever it means for fans. Not saying all this stuff has to be cheap necessarily, but it should be easy and relatively unconfusing to figure out by sport. Right. And, you know, and I don't know that it's any better in the UK. I know in the UK there's been talk. I've been doing some research as we talked about sort of like, I think Sky Sports has almost all of the Premier League, but there should be like, you should be able to sort of, by league, be able to subscribe and get all the games you want for a relatively inexpensive price. Not relatively inexpensive, but at least a reasonable price. I don't know. It feels like fans just have to pay way too much. Or even if you don't get every game, you should be able to choose by team somehow in one place. And it should be relatively easy, but of course not. Instead, everything's chopped up to maximize the absolute money. And it just, you know, greed makes the world go round, I guess.
It's not great. The loss or the ability to do in-market streaming is a good thing. But you're right. The danger here is that you're going to end up doing 5 different streaming services to watch all your team's games. And it's already headed that direction where you've got to have ESPN for this or Peacock for this or Apple TV for this. And, you know, that shows no sign of stopping because that's how the money is made. Super Bowl ratings were good. 124.9 million, down only slightly from last year's 127.7 million, in part probably because the game was even worse than last year's game. But as you wrote in your wonderful free newsletter, Buffering, that people should sign up for, it was also a choice that NBC Universal made to not make the Super Bowl available for free on streaming. They didn't put it on their fast channel, Zumo Play. There was no Peacock free trial, which I understand because the Olympics are going on and they want to make people pay to watch the Olympics. But it is that's just an interesting strategy decision that they had, which is that they weren't trying to maximize Super Bowl viewership by putting it on a free streamer somewhere. You basically needed to pay for some aspect of NBC's offerings or get it over the air in order to watch it.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, of course, you know, maybe this, as I said, it incentivizes some people who don't want to pay for all that to just get an antenna. You should get an antenna if you have a TV in the US and you don't want to have an expensive package like YouTube TV or something like that, which we'll talk about later. But, you know, it's so you can get an antenna and you can get a lot of TV. And it's yeah. And most places, there are certain places you live in the country and antennas really don't work. But that's always been the case. And you needed to pay for cable or something, whatever. But yeah, it is a little bit strange that they didn't do that. I sort of get it. I mean, Zumo Play, which is Comcast's free streaming service, is sort of an afterthought and quite frankly, a little bit of a joke. But it probably hurt the ratings, especially when you consider that, you know, Nielsen has been making all sorts of changes to their sample, including this year, that increases the likelihood that they'd get even more people watching sports. It would be measured rather. And that didn't happen. And I think that's in part because of, you know, the fact that it wasn't a great game and the fact that there wasn't a free last year's was a little bit inflated. And you know, it also, it does get a little more politicized every year. You know, there's a YouGov poll this week that claims that 51% of Americans did not watch the Super Bowl. I don't believe that. And that the number was even higher among conservatives. I do think there was absolutely some tuning out of the halftime show. By political stance. I've actually seen some data that indicates geographically in certain red states that exactly is what happened. I think in general, I think the NFL should insist that there is a free streaming platform for the Super Bowl going forward. It just, most people are not, younger people just aren't going to get an antenna and it should be free. The Super Bowl is a game that should be easily free, not just free. And I think it, you know, even if you license it to Tubi, why not? So,
I think you're going to make a lot of money on the ads, so you're probably going to do okay.
Right. And that it increases. So, of course, you know, maybe NBC is thinking as well, the numbers are down. That only hurts ABC, who's going to have the Super Bowl next year and has to sell based upon this year's numbers. So right. Who knows?
I also have a Winter Olympics update, which is basically to say, I think it's gone pretty well. I think that Peacock does, NBC has sort of figured out how to spread things out on Peacock. I think the one curious thing is, of course, they're still using their strategy of having a bunch of cable channels that they don't actually own anymore in order to show some stuff. And it's nice to have a bunch of cable channels to put linear stuff on, but there are occasionally conflicts between what's on cable and what's on Peacock or what's on broadcast. What I find the most interesting is that they're still kind of playing this game of local affiliates want to have the Olympics on in prime time, which I totally understand. But there's no way for people on the West Coast to watch the Olympic primetime, which is just highlights, right? It's not live. You can watch them all live if you want to during the day or very early in the morning here on the West Coast because it's so far away in Italy. But I don't understand why, other than that affiliates want it to be this way, that like it's a pre-taped highlight package. I'm sometimes ready to watch it at 6 p.m. It's on at 5 p.m. Pacific time because it's an 8 p.m. Eastern time package. They withhold it from me as a West Coaster. I can't watch it until it's prime time in the West Coast. Yeah. And I understand that the affiliates don't want to people jump in the gun. But like, if I want to use Peacock to watch it at 5 when it's on the East Coast, they should just let me.
You know, well, look, I've written about this before in past years because it is frustrating. But I think the reason is as much about affiliates because affiliates are already giving up a lot of the coverage is on. People can still watch on Peacock and all of that. You know, they want to guess. I would imagine I don't watch the live during the live week because I don't have commercials. But do they have local commercials? I assume they'll have its geo events like SNL, and you see. Yeah,
I
don't know. I'll have to check. But it's also as much, I think, if I had to guess, it's also as much about ensuring the linear ratings on TV and places like YouTube TV remains as high as possible, because they still sell about, you know, they sell for the all in number, but I think they like having those big linear numbers too, although they have been getting smaller. It's doing around 10, 11 million viewers on just regular linear TV, which is impressive by today's standards, is nothing compared to even like 8 years ago when it was a regular over 20 million on linear. But it is sort of this weird anachronism, and it makes it harder. And that's, I think in general, Peacock and NBC have done a really good job of clearing up all of the headaches that used to flag Olympics. I mean, when was the last time you heard anyone complain about the Olympics in terms of, well, they're not covering this event, or I can't see this.
You can watch it all now. Replays of the key events. Now, they used to withhold the replays, right? Whereas like you watch it live at 10 a.m., but otherwise you have to wait until prime time to watch our edited version. They've cleared a lot of that up. I guess what I would say is, especially as West Coasters, there's a hole, because what happens is that most things just stop at 5, and then you have to wait 3 hours because now you're waiting until after it's on in the east, on the East Coast, where they're not counter programming it, and then you show up at 8 to watch again. And you know what? You know, my wife gets home from work at 5:30 and we're making dinner, and like, we might want to sit down and have the Olympics on at 6 or 6:30. And you could put on a replay of something, but it's just kind of a bummer. It's like, well, why don't I just put the prime time on now? And they don't let you.
Oh, that's right. It is incredibly dumb. I agree with you. One solution I've had to that is I've sometimes watched it, like with the opening ceremonies, I just watch the next day because I pay for Peacock ad free. I don't care. Yes. Like, and all the sports are already, you know, known. So I don't care if it's, I'm watching today, tomorrow. So you get the day behind. And if you got the ad free, it's a wonderful experience because you can, because when you're watching the live prime time, you can't fast forward or even rewind, like you lit, which is just incredibly crazy. You can't even go back.
One of the really nice things about it is when you watch live, you get the occasional ad insert, but when you watch the replay afterward of the archived version, if you have the ad-free Peacock, they just cut out all the ad breaks. I've been doing that with the curling because the curling's on very, very early. But when we watch curling not live, once one end of the curling is done, they immediately cut to the next end starting. There's no ads. They've chopped all that stuff out. It's really nice.
It's a great experience. The other one hack for anyone who's not aware that I would just recommend for Olympics, if you really just want to just focus on the sports, for ski things like figure skating, and a lot of events, I think almost all the events, you can go to what's called the venue feed. And it's essentially, you have to look for it because they don't make it easy to find. But the venue feed allows you to watch what the International Olympics Committee sends out to all of its partners around the world, and there are no commentators. No, there are you will see recaps, and you will see sort of like freeze frames and that sort of thing. They'll do all sorts of tricks, lots of great graphics. It'll let you know what's going on with music or whatever is going on, the little stats, but you don't have to hear like the commentators drone on, which sometimes I really don't. Yeah. You know, Johnny and Tara, you're great, but sometimes I just want you to shut up and they won't.
There's so many commentators at the Olympics. Some of them are bound to be bad. That's what I feel about curling. They've got a couple really good curling commentating teams, and then they've got a team that's not good.
Exactly. So check the venue feed. The other thing I will say is Peacock still has a ways to go, I think, in terms of making it. It's ultimately you can find it, but it's not always intuitive. My mom, I've had to go in and like insert events into her queue because she can't find it. There's so many different things. They're labeled with different ways. There's the USA. There's the, like you mentioned, all the cable are just like, what, huh? I don't understand all this. It's confusing. And look, there are a lot of Olympics, so it's never going to be completely easy. I still feel like if Peacock got a better user interface, they could make it better. But honestly, overall, no complaints.
Yeah,
it's the best thing about Peacock.
And they're doing the Gold Zone channel again, which, you know, because again, on the West Coast, it's kind of shifted a little early. It's hard to kind of spend any time with it because it's happening when events are happening. But they've got the NFL Red Zone guys on there, Scott Hansen and Andrew Siciliano, along with a couple other people. Jack Collinsworth, I think, is one of them. And basically the premise there is it's NFL Red Zone for the Olympics. So it's kind of whip around coverage of what interesting things are happening live right now. And then also, you know, they make sure that you see anybody who's going to the premise is Gold Zone, right? So it's going for a gold medal. But like that can be during the daytime, especially a really fun channel to watch because they're not going to give you you can flip to another place to get the context of like this entire snowboarding event or whatever, but they're going to handpick like just fun stuff. It's like a little sampler platter of everything going on at the Olympics at that moment. It's such a good idea. They've done it the last couple Olympics. It is a really well-produced show. Just, I can't say, I agree. I think that there are some interface problems with Peacock, but boy, NBC does the content part of the Olympics so well. They really
spend
do.
As much as they do that you would think they would. And I do wish do you think the Gold Zone would work okay on a replay basis? Like just have like 6 hours of Gold Zone coverage, or is that sort of defeats the point?
I don't know if I would watch. I should see if they have Gold Zone replays.
They don't. They I've don't. Checked, see, I
would,
wanted to.
I would watch that in those lag times where I don't know what I'm going to watch. I want a little highlight package, and they do have some highlight packages and things, but yeah, it would be fun to be able to just back up the Gold Zone for 3 hours and while I'm cooking dinner and while we're eating dinner or something like that.
This is when I look forward to the day when Netflix eventually buys the Olympics and they can put their mark on it. And of course, Netflix, if they get Warner Brothers, they soon will have, Netflix will still have Olympics in certain countries because Warner Brothers Discovery has Olympic rights through Discovery. And that would, I believe, although maybe not because of the spinoff, it might not actually. So I should,
I guess we'll see. More on that in a little bit too.
Exactly. And by the way, the one thing is you won't have to worry about time zones though, for both good and bad in 2 years, because it'll be on the Pacific time zone, assuming the Olympics actually take place in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles, that's right. And the Winter Olympics are going to be in, 8 years in Utah. So
yes, but you know, there could be boycotts. Like, who knows if other countries will boycott the 2028 Olympics.
Indeed, who knows? All right, moving on from sports follow-up to some updates about the great rebundling. And some interesting stories going on here. You covered this in Buffering and I thought it was really good. So YouTube TV has now rolled out skinny bundles. You made the point in your article that, when it launched, YouTube TV was like $35 a month for 40 channels. And of course it's now $83 a month with more than 100 channels. So the idea that you could save money with YouTube TV has kind of gone out the window. It's now $83 a month. So they're offering skinny bundles, and there's going to be one with broadcast networks and some general entertainment channels for $55. It's $63 if you want to add the news channels, though. And their sports bundle, which includes all the broadcast networks, is $65. So it saves you a little bit of money, $18 a month over the big bundle. And honestly, I am the kind of person who just needs the sports bundle. I don't need more than the relevant sports channels and my networks, my locals. But they are starting to roll this out. I saw a lot of stories saying that it was rolled out. I tried to change my YouTube TV subscription and it did not let me.
No, so they're doing it over several weeks, which again is also dumb.
Yeah.
People have noticed that. It's just do it when it's ready.
Yeah, exactly.
I had to fight and I still haven't gotten, supposedly they're going to be more than a dozen or more than 10 different options, but they just won't give me a list or put out a list of all of them. I was able to get on background a few extra ones from the ones that they put in their blog post. So I was happy to get that, but I will probably go down to just broadcast and news because those are the only things I really record. I never watch any sports.
Right.
And it'll save me a little bit of money, which is fine. But I also wish, I wish there were a true a la carte option, or at least a modified one where, I didn't have to pay for Fox News, or maybe I would just want the broadcast channels and literally nothing on cable, because everything on cable is just too many commercials. There's nothing worth watching unless it's sports or news. So just give me broadcast plus news and that's all I need, but instead I've got to pay. If I want that, I've got to pay for broadcast with all of their assorted cable channels, because of course the conglomerates that own the broadcast channels also have cable channels, and they're going to, they won't just let me watch CBS on streaming. They're, I need to get, all the MTV networks. So it's annoying.
Right. Yes, it is. It really is. Something else I noticed that was annoying is that although YouTube TV did end its carriage dispute with Disney over ESPN, and part of that deal includes that the YouTube TV subscribers will get access to ESPN Unlimited, so they'll have over-the-top streaming access to everything that ESPN provides on streaming. They don't currently have it, and it may not happen until the fall. That's what YouTube TV has said. If only Disney and Google were good at technology, I guess. Maybe they could have figured this out sooner. Google, but apparently not. So this is a thing that I tried to watch an obscure college basketball game the other day, and it said, you can't do this. You don't have access to ESPN. And I said, I do, because I have YouTube TV. And it said, nope. And it turns out that that's actually accurate, that even though I am theoretically somebody who has access to the ESPN over the top service through YouTube TV, and they all agree that I do, I don't actually have it, because it's not going to happen until
But let me ask, would you have watched the ESPN Unlimited on the ESPN Unlimited app or within YouTube TV?
On the ESPN Unlimited app.
So it's a Disney thing, not a YouTube thing, not technology wise, because there's no reason if it's just a login. I mean,
it's literally just a login.
Yeah, this is the one thing everyone, you know, I will say till I'm blue in the face that there are a lot of things that HBO Max, or now again HBO Max did right. And one of the things they did so right that so many other people didn't, which is for anyone who had the HBO the cable network paid. There were lots of people, and still are, who paid for HBO on cable. They immediately had a login that let them watch Max, whether first it was Now, then it was Go, then it was HBO Max.
That was one of
them.
But
it was like, it was just a natural. It's like, oh, you're already an HBO subscriber. Well, guess what? Your HBO subscription now includes even more. It was a wonderful thing, because it was like, hey, you can still watch it on your cable box if you want, but you can also watch Max and watch Friends. It made sense. Same thing should have applied with, you know, honestly, with Paramount Plus and Peacock, and it should also be with ESPN.
My theory is that because YouTube TV wants to integrate all of the ESPN stuff into their app, right? That was part of the
deal. They're going to make you wait.
They're not
going to
make
me
wait until they do that work, instead of just letting me use ESPN right now. And the only reason I'm using YouTube TV, of course, just as a follow-up, is because NBC Universal is in a carriage dispute with Fubo, which was my provider. And they've stopped negotiating. That may just happen forever. And the problem there is that although NBC Universal, I have Peacock, so theoretically I have everything NBC Universal does already. The truth is they put some of their sports stuff in the Premier League Soccer on USA, and that stuff's not available on Peacock.
That's so insane.
It's bizarre.
And it's so bizarre, but it also, it makes me think that when YouTube TV subscribers do get access to ESPN Unlimited, it will only be within the YouTube TV app, which is garbage. And honestly, again, if we had a functioning federal government and or anyone a regulatory scheme, it would be a sort of thing where, you know, hey, if you want to subscribe to this channel through Amazon or Apple, great. But and you want to watch it there, great, because that's how you like it, great. But if you also prefer to watch it in the individual person's app, you can do that too. You should have that flexibility.
It's very silly.
And also conversely, like if Hulu TV wants, it's all insane.
Yeah. Yeah. So not happy about that, but we'll figure it out. Also, listener Brian wrote in to downstreamfeedback.com with a note about how Sky in the UK, the satellite TV service, is going to offer a bundle that features Disney Plus, HBO Max, Netflix, and Hayu.
Do you know what Hayu is, people?
I don't know what Hayu is.
Hayu is essentially Bravo, but for cable slash streaming. Yeah. So it's NBC Universal owns it, and it's sort of all of their all their reality stuff across. Yeah.
So that'll be there along with the Sky channels, and it's £24 per month. So basically it's only slightly more expensive than you'd pay for Sky, and you get all these things too. And these are the ad tiers, and you can pay extra to get the off the ad tiers and whatever. But like, this is an interesting rebundle where Sky is trying to be relevant by saying, no, we want to keep you as a subscriber, and you know, you can pay one bill and get all of these streaming services in addition to Sky. We'll see how it goes. But like, why not try that? Why not?
I mean, to me, it's right there for Apple, of all places. You know, Apple, but again, the thing is, unfortunately, now with that bundle, a question I have is whether or not if you can watch Netflix within the Sky app, or if you can only get it to the Netflix app. And that's the question. I can't imagine Netflix is letting people watch Netflix anywhere but Netflix. But if I'm Apple, you know, maybe I work out a way with Netflix where I just say, you know, or Amazon, it should be the bundle should be able, because Apple TV has one of the best interfaces that we've talked a million times before on this podcast. And that's Apple could find a way to expand. Apple should be having TV bundles like that, and they don't. And it's insane. But again, all these streamers want to sort of fight to the death to have their own sort of universes. And I think ultimately, maybe we're just going to have to do it through all these places merging into two or three companies. And that's, I don't know. It's just incredibly anti-consumer.
Oh, boy. This episode of Downstream is brought to you by Factor. Cold days, big goals, no time to cook. It's hard juggling everything this time of year. Fortunately, Factor makes healthy eating easy with fully prepared meals designed by dietitians and crafted by chefs, so you can eat well without the planning or cooking. With Factor, you can expect quality ingredients, lean proteins, colorful vegetables, whole food ingredients, and healthy fats. It's the stuff you'd make if you had the time. No refined sugars, no artificial sweeteners, no refined seed oils. Let's see, what do I like? I like the chicken a lot. I like, they have a bunch of really nice chicken dishes. You can get chicken thighs or chicken breasts. Really good and so nice for me to have on a lunch day where I don't have anything else to make, or my wife takes them and microwaves them at the library. A lot of variety. I should say my mother loves the salmon. That's her favorite thing. You've got so many different choices. You never get bored. 100 rotating weekly meals, including high-protein, calorie-smart, Mediterranean diet, GLP-1 support, and ready-to-eat salads, plus the new Muscle Pro collection, supports health, strength, recovery. Factor meals are always fresh, never frozen, ready in about 2 minutes, no prep, no stress. So easy to get it, put it together. My mom was having nutrition issues. She just didn't want to cook for herself. So now we send her some Factor boxes, and she mixes those in. Helps her a lot. And then, like I said, when we have them here, my wife takes them to work with her and doesn't have to go out to the store before her lunch break or get a leftover from, you know, if we have one in the house. Just super easy and handy. Go to factormeals.com/downstream50off. Use code downstream50off to get 50% off and free breakfast for a year. That's right. Eat like a pro this month with Factor. New subscribers only. Varies by plan. One free breakfast item per box for 1 year while subscription is active. Factormeals.com/downstream50off. Code downstream50off. Thank you to Factor for supporting Downstream and all of Relay. Okay, that brings us to maybe my favorite new innovation of Downstream over the last year, TV Picks, where we tell you about things that are on, you know, television that you can watch and that you like and that are fun. Joe, do you have a TV pick for me?
I do. I am oddly digging a show on Fox called Best Medicine, and it's probably the least Fox show in decades, if not ever. It really feels like a show that should be on the Hallmark Channel or CBS in some ways, with a little bit of edge. But essentially, it's based on the UK series. And boy, I was still hoping for anyone, readers, if I've said this to you before, and Jason and I can't remember, then I apologize, but you'll just hear it's the
Doc
show
Martin.
So twice. It's show that, right, but it's if I've not mentioned Best Medicine before, it's the show so twice. Show so nice, I'm going to tout it twice, because it is based on Best Medicine. Best Medicine is based on Doc Martin, the UK
Martin
show. I never had seen Doc Martin before I watched the screeners for Best Medicine. As soon as I saw the first two episodes of Best Medicine and liked it and enjoyed it, I said, well, let me go watch the UK version. And honestly, the UK version, better. And it's because they did about 70 episodes over literally 20 years. They did eight episodes roughly every 2 years. You're going to get a lot better TV when that's all you have to make. By the end of March, early April, Fox will have already made 13 episodes of Best Medicine. But it's basically just about a sort of a big city doctor who, for reasons that are best understood when you watch the show, ends up moving to a small town in Maine. And there are a whole bunch of wacky regulars. So it's a little bit of a Hallmark movie. It's a little bit of Northern Exposure. It's a little bit of a million different other shows before, but it's just a fun hang show. It's a little bit of a comedy. It's a little bit of a drama. It could be better. I will say that it could be better. It's not the best TV you're going to get, but it's very sort of relaxing television with Josh Charles from Sports Night and a whole bunch of other great shows. He's the lead. He does a great job. The supporting Annie Potts is in it, and she's great because Annie Potts just makes everything better. It's a fun show, and I enjoy it. Check it out if that's your jam. It's on Hulu.
I'll put a link in the show notes to an essay on The Hard Pass, which is the new newsletter by Mike Ryan, longtime media writer, very funny stuff. And I just want to read a little line from it because it's basically who's the better Marty Supreme or Dr. Martin Best. And he says they both seem kind of mean, though Marty Supreme has the ability to turn on the charm. Dr. Martin Best is almost entirely off-putting at all times, though when he answers his phone, he says Best here, which is inherently obnoxious, but also appealing. If my last name were Best, I would answer the phone like that too. It just made me laugh.
And then could you sign your emails Best, Best?
Yeah, Best. I mean, just it's the best.
The U Yeah, the UK original, I've now, like, in the Doc Martin extended cinematic universe, I think they made it in some other countries, which I may seek out. And believe it or not, it started with a Craig Ferguson penned movie that was around 1999 or 2000. There was a character in there. So oddly enough, Craig Ferguson is executive producer of the, or somehow related to the Doc Martin novel. Yeah, it's bizarre. Amazing. And both are different. In the UK show, again, he's much meaner. He barely ever, I'm only about three seasons into that show. I'm watching it slowly. I've decided I'm just going to watch Doc Martin when Best Medicine isn't on. But Best Medicine is doing great in the ratings. It's going to be back for a second season, I can guarantee it. And so if you want a show to get into, you know, all 13 episodes will be on Fox or on Hulu by the end of March. And it's a fun show to check out. Nice little binge.
Very nice. Very nice. I am going to make a kind of an affirmation and of a previous pick, and then a little sort of side pick. So I believe Will recommended Wonder Man on Disney Plus last time. I've now watched Wonder Man. It's great. If you're somebody who is turned off by Marvel stuff and have Disney Plus, just watch Wonder Man. It's kind of like The Studio. It is a Hollywood comedy about two actors who just happen to be Yahya Abdul-Mateen, who has superpowers a little bit, and Ben Kingsley, Sir Ben Kingsley, who is reprising his very weird Marvel role as Trevor Slattery, a down on his luck British actor who got conned into pretending to be a supervillain at one point in Iron Man 3. You don't really need to know that, but they have a hilarious relationship. Those guys are incredibly charismatic. I don't know why Yahya Abdul-Mateen is not in more things, because he's great. He was Angela's husband in Watchmen, if you remember the Watchmen TV series. I had a pivotal role in there that I'm not going to spoil. Anyway, it's sweet and funny. And it is about the kind of absurdity of Hollywood. There's a whole episode where they're trying to find a place to do a self tape so we can do an audition and send it in. There's a whole episode that's like at his mom's birthday party. And then Ben Kingsley is just so funny. What a treasure that guy is. And I've seen him do lots of scary things, right? But his comedy is immaculate. He's so good. So highly recommend Wonder Man. And then I'll throw in Bookish with Mark Gatiss, which is on PBS. If you are a fan of Sherlock, which was Stephen Moffat and Mark Gatiss made that show, this Mark Gatiss show is also a mystery. It's set post-World War II. He plays a quirky detective named Mr. Book, who sells books. Books is his job, but apparently solving crimes is secretly his job. And he has a mysterious letter from Churchill in his pocket that he brings out when people wonder why he's there doing it. And there's a lot of interesting subtext, including about the lockdown nature of society, we'll say, in Britain in the 40s and 50s, that you might expect if you know anything about Mark Gatiss. I liked it. I think it's got a level of, I don't think it moves quite as well as Sherlock, and I think it's got maybe a level of complexity that requires a level of close viewing that not everybody is going to like. I didn't think it soared, but I thought it was pretty good. And if you like British mysteries, and especially if you like Sherlock, you should check out Bookish, which is available at on the PBS app, or I guess on your local PBS station. So,
sounds good.
Those are my picks.
Love me a good UK show. And I still have to watch Sherlock. Still haven't seen it.
I need to watch that. It's pretty good. I mean, as with many shows, it doesn't get better. It sort of like starts out really great, and then the last couple seasons are like, yeah, they're okay, but it's so smart and clever and funny and interesting that it's worth watching. All right, that brings us to the end. If you have a question or suggestion for us, downstreamfeedback.com is there. Love to your mothers. We love to hear from you. If you haven't yet, please consider subscribing to Downstream Plus. Every episode, more or less, most of the show is available just for supporters. If you didn't subscribe, you missed us talk about things like Disney transitions and Warner Brothers, Netflix, Paramount drama, and you really wanted to hear about that part. To support us, go to downstream.plus and get full versions of every episode, access to the Relay Discord, bonus shows from Relay, and a whole lot more. You can find me at sixcolors.com, and I will appear on many other podcasts at Relay and at theincomparable.com. And Joe Adalian is at vulture.com, and you should subscribe to the free Buffering newsletter to get Joe and his colleagues in your inbox on a regular basis. Anything else to plug, or does that cover it?
You can follow me on Blue Sky at TVMOJOE.
That's great.
Always, but be warned, lots of political opinions of a liberal persuasion. So that's not your jam. You can move on.
You can just move right on. And you can follow me on Blue Sky as well if you want to.
Preemptively block me.
I am snell.zone on Blue Sky, because why not? You'll enter the Snell Zone if you follow me there. All right.
The Gold Zone, the Snell Zone.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You go from the Red Zone to the Gold Zone to the Snell Zone. That's how you have to do it. Anyway, we will be back next time. But until then, goodbye.